John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Could you just stand with us this morning quickly? Get out your Bible, your iPads, your iPhones, your gadgets, your gizmos, your torn pages of the Bible you brought from home. Whatever it is in which you have God's word written, doesn't matter what it's written in. All it matters is it's written. Amen? Somebody say, it's written. Say, come to church with something written. You know, and I should be an ambassador for Apple. You know, I have all their gadgets, but nothing compares to the book of the law. Amen? Amen. Not the iPad of the law. The book. There's something, I don't know, there's just something about pen and paper. You know, something about writing my own handwriting on a piece of paper that beats typing it into a gadget. Amen. So even with the gadgets, just try and come to church with the Bible. The physical paperback one. Amen. 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 God bless you. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read two passages of scripture. I'm going to continue from where I stopped on Thursday. We're still in a season where we are treating the series. What series are we treating this season? The War Against Carnality. Look at your neighbor. Say, the war against carnality. Look at your other neighbor. Those ones were too carnal, so they didn't speak to you. Tell the other neighbor, the war. Not the battle against carnality, because battles won't happen once and forever. Wars can last years. Amen? The war against carnality. We are going to kick carnality out of the body of Christ, one person at a time. Amen? We're going to return the church to its original condition, original purpose, which was a group of people who were so fleshless and worldless that they carried all of God man could carry. Amen. Amen. Chris, please just look at me, because the rest of them are looking a bit funny, but I saw your face, so you know you're my motivation this morning. I'll preach to you. Amen. We're going to get to a place where the word Christian literally means Christ-like. The fact that you park in a garage doesn't make you a Cadillac. Amen. We're going to return the body of Christ one person at a time. One day at a time. But we will get there to a place where when men appear as Christians, the world sees God. Amen. So let's read 1 John chapter. Now, today's message is a continuation from Thursday. Amen. We're talking about the sons of God. Someone say, the sons of God. So media team, Thursday, sons of God 1. This is sons of God 2. We're going to go through the same text again, and we're going to lay some foundations and move on. 1 John chapter 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Let's all read together, continuing, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear. Come on, I want to hear you. Stop. 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 Let's start again. Read the Bible. With reverence. Amen. One, two, go. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Go on. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Behold, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Pause. Now, the book of John, the epistle now, John chapter 1, from verse 11. Let's all go there quickly. And let's read that together, and I'll discharge you to sit down. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, from verse 11. Amen. Are we there? Okay, he came unto his own, let's all read together, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Pause. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God bless you. You can sit down this morning. Amen. 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 So now we're talking about the sons of God. Now we've been through a few messages in this series. Who remembers what the first message was in the series, The War Against Carnality? Let's see if you remember. Destroying the myth of the carnal Christian. Amen. Someone say, destroying the myth of a carnal Christian. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. It's a misnomer. You can't have carnal and Christian in the same sentence. You can have a carnal believer, but a carnal Christian is a... Is it an oxymoron, English student? It's an oxymoron, exactly. What was our next message? A character study on the life of Samson. We're going to do a few character studies in this series, but Samson was the first one we did to show you how horrible, carnality can be in the life of a person. What was our next message? Pardon? The two trees. Was that the next one? You sure? The two trees. Okay, yeah, we spoke about... Are you sure? Pardon? Okay, we spoke about two trees anyway. We haven't done Sanctify Yourself yet. We kind of switched the message halfway through, if you didn't notice. We spoke about the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Amen? And we spoke about how the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the seed of carnality and the world that was planted in man. And how a tree is an establishment that produces a fruit in itself that produces after its kind. Amen. And when Adam ate of that tree, he tapped into the life source of carnality. What was our next message? Sons of God. We spoke about the term. Remember the Hebrew word for sons of God? Benai Elohim. Benai Elohim. It literally means what? What does it mean? A direct production of God. We spoke about the fact that Adam was the first human Benai Elohim, and after he fell, there were no more human Benai Elohims until Christ appeared, which is why the Bible refers to Christ as the second Adam. The word Adam is not a man's name. It literally means man. Amen? The word Adam means man, not as in us, but as in the original creation God made. So Adam was the first man. I wish I could go to town on that this morning. Adam was the first man. Amen. In the sense of the word man. What is man? The being in God's image. What is man? The being in God's image. See, this is the definition of man. Man simply means the spirit of God in a vessel of clay. Okay, let's start from there this morning. Paul, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Paul. The word man simply means, by definition, when you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, the definition of the word man literally means the spirit of God or a portion of the spirit of God in a clay vessel. Did you catch that? What did I say it means? The spirit of God in an earthen vessel. The New Testament says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the, come on, of the, the power might be of God. Wake up this morning. When you look at this definition, it explains the Immaculate Conception. How could Jesus be 100% man and at the same time be 100% God? Very simple. All Jesus was, amen, was Adam reincarnate. Although this time God didn't just put a piece of himself, God put the whole self. Let that sink in your mind for a second. Let's start from here. When God made Adam, the Bible says he spoke to himself. The Trinity, the Elohim, had the God race, had a conversation and said, let us, meaning there must be three of us, there must be at least more than one of us, right? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, a tree or a piece of a desk is in the image of a tree, but it's not in the likeness of the tree. Does that make sense? Image deals with content. Likeness deals with form. Now, the Bible says God is spirit. God is not a spirit. It's insulting to call God a spirit. The same way God does not love. God is the embodiment of love. He is the embodiment of what it is to be spirit. In fact, I would prove to you from scripture, but I don't have time and I don't want to stir up any stuff this morning, that what we call the spirit realm literally is a component of God. Say that again. What we refer to as the spirit realm, right, is literally a component, a constituent of the being we call God. He's the father of all spirits, the Bible says. He is spirit. God is not everywhere at the same time. Everywhere is in God at the same time. But let's not go into that. And so God says, you know what, let's take a small portion of ourselves. And we can argue about what this was for. Was it because God wanted to be worshipped? Was it because he wanted man to have dominion? And and depending on who you are, you argue based on what you want to argue, why God made man. And I have my own reasonings and my own theories on that, but I don't want to go into that this morning. But for whatever purpose, God made man, right? He took a piece of himself. The Bible says he fashioned a temple of clay in Genesis chapter 2, and he breathed into that thing, the breath of life. The word there is the ruach, the essence of who he is. Amen. The spirit of God. God took a piece of himself, put it into a temple of clay. And the Bible says man became a living soul. Prior to that, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God had created man already. You see a two-step procedure. God makes man. Literally, my picture of this is God takes man from a portion of himself, cuts out a piece of himself, wraps it and keeps it in storage inside himself. Amen. Amen. Then goes and fashions a body and breathes the piece of himself he has taken out into the body. And therefore, when man shows up on the earth, man is a different breed of creature altogether. That's why man could have dominion, because the lions and the, if there were any dinosaurs in the day, we don't know for a fact, but all these other creatures were not looking at a created being of flesh. They saw the image of God. Someone say the image of God. They saw when a lion saw Adam, he saw God. Are you with me? To demonstrate or to further buttress this point, the Bible says God wanted to test his experiment, because God never uses anything he hasn't tested. So God says, okay, let's see if this thing worked. Adam, please come here. Animals, show up one by one. Adam, name them. Now, the word name doesn't necessarily mean to give a moniker. Your name is not what we call you. Hello. The word name in Hebrew literally means to confirm and imprint identity. That's why in the Bible you look at the fact that people had names that literally were prophetic words about what their futures would be. Jabez, pain. Jacob, supplanter. Are you with me? Abraham, the father of many nations. And so God brings Adam and brings all the animals to Adam. And the Bible says Adam calls them stuff. And whatever he calls them, they are. Genesis chapter 2. Adam literally shares in the creative nature of God. Are you with me? In fact, there is a Bible translation. I'm not sure if it's the Darby. I forgot which one it is. But there is a Bible translation where the Bible says God created, breathed into man, and man became a living soul. There is a certain translation of the Bible that puts it this way. And man became another speaking being in the class of God. God literally created a mini version of himself. Amen. And put it in a temple of clay. And that is why it is illegal. It is absolutely illegal for a spirit without a body to have dominion on the earth. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Not us. Someone say not us. Let man have dominion over the earth. The world, the earth as we know it, the physical planet, is the jurisdiction of B'nai Elohims, sons of God. God said, let man have dominion. Let man rule on earth. It's almost like a parent, your child gets to about 18, and you say, you know what, let's teach them some responsibility. So let's get her or him his own car or her own car. This is your car. I don't drive it. I don't work it. I don't do any. Some of you are thinking, I wish they had done that when I was 18. You know, but this is your car. This is your room. Amen. You get them a flat at university. This is your house. Now, this is your domain. It's your jurisdiction. I pay for it. Amen. But you run it. Somebody say you run it. I retain sovereignty over it. And if you mess up, I take it away. Hint, hint. Amen. If you mess up, I'll take the keys from you. But I want you to treat it like it's your own domain. Like it's your own environment to control. Be like me. Exercise dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. No, the Bible didn't say do fruit. It didn't say do multiplication. It says be. Don't say be. Just be. The word be in Hebrew is the word ashar. It means be, am, is, where, how, where. It literally means just exist. As a, let it just flow from you. Someone say let it flow from you. God wasn't instructing man to go and do something. God was informing man who he was. As a virtue of being in my class, be fruitful because I'm fruitful. Multiply because I'm a multiplicator. Have dominion because I am a dominator. Subdue because I am sovereign. Replenish. Amen. But that was a peace of God. The peace of God fell, was hoodwinked, tricked, sold his birthright. And God said the second time, you know what? I'm not going to send a peace. So how was Jesus 100% God, 100% man? Very simple. Jesus is a peace of God, or in this case, the whole of God, wrapped in a human body. That's why God couldn't just come in the clouds. That's why he had to find a virgin. That's why he had to find a woman. That's why he had to wrap himself in earthly humanity. That's why he had to be born in the matrix of time from the annals of eternity. That's why he had to learn how to walk and learn how to talk and say, the one who created language, the word, was saying mama, dada, tata, papa. Amen. The one who holds, the Bible says, all things in place by the word of his power was learning how to walk and falling down and perhaps grazing his knee because he had to earn the right to function in the earth realm. Are you with me?
Yes.
He had to earn the jurisdiction to enforce the kingdom of God in the earth realm, which was Adam's original assignment. God said, you know what? The first guy came as a full-grown man and blew it. No, you start from scratch. Amen. You go through the process. You walk, you'll be 12 years old and you think your parents are nagging you. Amen. That's how I read that portion of scripture. Jesus is a 12-year-old who thinks, Mom, Dad, why are you nagging me? Amen. Because we don't understand the fact that while he was perfect in his divinity and in his sinlessness, the Bible says he grew in wisdom. Hello. Did you read your Bible? Luke chapter 2. He grew in wisdom, in knowledge. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He had to earn his right to grow up into the manifested Son. So perhaps at 12, he wasn't wise enough to understand, like most 12-year-olds would not be, why the fact that he wasn't with mom and dad on the road back home would cause them grief. Hello? Hello, have you ever seen children? What's wrong with what I just did? You know, well, I mean, why, mom, dad, why are you tripping? Why are you tripping? What's wrong? Sorry, my accent's not cutting it. He had to learn how to grow. He had to. Now, God took the full. Bible says Jesus is the fullness. Someone said the fullness of the Godhead. He's now the Godhead is not Father, Son, and Spirit. No, I've said that many times before. Jesus is not a member of the Godhead. He's not a member of the Trinity. The Trinity is Father, Word, Logos, and Spirit. Are you with me? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. There was no Son at the beginning. Amen. There was Logos. Oh, you know, are you getting this? In creation, God said, released a word while the Spirit was hovering. Amen. The book of oh Lord have mercy. Do we want to go in here today? Bible says there are three that bear witness or that bear record, sorry, in heaven. The Father, the Word. How many of you were here last Sunday? If you weren't here last Sunday, you missed. The Father, last Sunday evening, sorry. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. That's the Trinity. Father, Word, Spirit. Jesus is the fullness of this Trinity. Condensed into a body. Did you get that? He's not a member of the Trinity. He is the full expression of the Trinity in a manly form. And that's why the Bible says when he got to heaven after he ascended, he said, I'm going to sit down on my Father's throne. He's not replacing his Father. He is his Father in a mystery. He's an incarnation of the entire Godhead, but he's wrapped now in the same thing. Or he was wrapped. He has an ascended body now, but he was wrapped in the same thing you and I are wrapped in. You see, you're getting where I'm going this morning. The reason why he had to go through the process he did was to give you and I absolutely no excuse not to ascend into the same dimension. The Bible says he's called to be the firstborn among many. The captain of our salvation, the Bible says, came to bring many sons to glory. That's why he had to be bruised. That's why he had to be mistreated. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. He was perfected, that same verse says, by suffering. We do not have a high priest who is not unaware of our infirmities. Hello? But has been in any way, in every way, tempted just as we are. He walked where you walk. He stood where I stand. He felt what we feel. Yes, he understands what we feel, but not what we do. Are you with me? He is the pattern son. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. For all have sinned, the Bible says, in the book of Romans, and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, sin in itself wasn't the major issue. Are you with me this morning? Am I losing you? Are you with me? Okay, just interact with me. Just keep your eyes open. Just bulge your eyes so I know you're there, you know. So I know you're not just spaced out. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what is sin? Sin is literally the process by which the enemy got man to fall short of the glory of God. That's all. Sin was in itself not the issue. Satan knew that God was of purer eyes than to behold. But what is sin? The Bible says whatever is not of faith in the New Testament is sin. That's the New Testament definition of sin. The Old Testament definition of sin stopped at the transgression of the law. Amen. Meaning without law, the Bible says where there was no law, there was no sin. Now in the Old Testament, we knew sin as if God said don't do something and you did it. That was sin. In the New Testament, Paul describes sin as whatever is not of faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does the word "word" mean? It means rhematos. It means breathe, inspired inspiration of God. Amen. So basically, when you put all this together, what is faith? Faith simply is the understanding on your inside of the mind of God. Thank you, Yemi. Rhema is not just a scripture breathe. No. The word rhema literally means the concept of God exploded in your spirit. We have great and precious promises by which we are called to be partakers of the divine nature. This book wasn't meant to be quoted and preached. It's a passcode to it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All things pertaining to life and godliness, all things have been given. Amen. This partake now. We are called by this book. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. What is the testimony? It's an eyewitness account. Literally, the Bible saw Jesus. Did you get that? Jesus is saying, these scriptures are living things. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. They're not just dead words. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. These scriptures are living things. They are living things that saw me from the very beginning of time. They have an eyewitness account about me. And when you dive into them, they explode in your spirit to show you who I really am. Are you with me? So, where was I? Partakers of the divine nature. Faith, that was where I was going. Yes. So faith literally is the unveiling. See, faith is not an action you can, I've said this many times, faith is not an action you can work up. You can position yourself for faith. You can meet the requirements of faith, but you cannot create faith. Can I say that again? You can position yourself for faith. You can meet the demands of faith. You can do what faith needs to do to receive it, but you cannot manufacture faith in a vacuum. Faith comes when the rhema of God, when the revelation of God, not about God, but when a nugget, when a principle, when a key, when an illumination of God explodes in your heart, either about his nature, his character, his ability, his power, it produces faith. And the Bible says whatever you do that violates that nature is sin. Are you with me? Whatever you do that is a violation of your revelation of God. Oh, help me somebody. Whatever you do that says I don't know God, even though I do. Which is why we must be careful when we preach that we don't lay revelation on people who can't handle them, because we are judging them thereby. Jesus said your sin is greater because you know. Amen. Preachers, pastors, leaders, cell group leaders, youth pastors. Amen. Everybody, be very careful that you seek God before you preach to a person, because sometimes you push people into realms they can't handle. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Basically, whatever you do, think, or say, carnality, we're coming back to carnality without this. Whatever you do, think, or say that is a violation of the faith in your spirit of God is sin. It doesn't have to be fornication, pornication. Amen. Doesn't have to be stealing, cheating, or murder. What Bible said, whatever, if you know what to do and you don't do it, it's sin. Amen. If you're walking down the street and you see a man in a wheelchair and you feel a pushing in your spirit that there's an unction to minister and you don't minister, it's sin. Because you have just violated. Oh, you don't, did you get that?
Yes.
If you need finances for a kingdom project, and rather than tap into the covenant of blessing we have, if you stand on the pulpit and make merchandise of people because you're afraid you won't get the money any other way, it's sin. It's not sin because you're tricking people primarily. It's sin because you are giving God a bad name. Because you are saying God, even though, that's why the Bible says, for those who have tasted of the powers of the world to come, for those who have ascended into a certain dimension, if they fall away, it's impossible to get them back. Because the sin is greater, because the faith violation is greater. So I got told one of the kings of Israel, he said, when you were small in your own eyes, didn't I save you from this enemy and that enemy and that enemy? Why now are you going to Assyria and Egypt for help? You've seen me do such great and wonderful things. You know me on a level like you should. And yet you're, which is why every time you fall into temptation, forget the fact that you're hurting God. You should be ashamed of yourself. You have literally degraded yourself. That should be your number one priority for holiness. Not because you're afraid of hell, but because it is beneath you to fall short of the glory. What glory? The same glory that Adam had in the garden. In fact, in the New Testament, we're not just restored to Adam. We're restored to greater than Adam. Because now our progenitor is not Adam. Our progenitor is Christ. Amen. Christ said, Father, bring back the glory I had with you before the foundations of the world. We are seated with him where? In heavenly places. Above, someone say above. We are literally in, as a, when you get saved, you are baptized, the Bible says, into Christ. You're literally brought into his state. When the spirit realm sees you like they saw Adam and saw God the Father, now when they see you, they see Christ. And every time you engage in an act of carnality, you are falling short of the glory of God. You are stepping out of your divine estate. You are saying, you know what? I choose not to be an B'nai Elohim any longer. I want to be an animal. That's why scientists call us plants. And I said that last week and people didn't like it, but I'll say it again. In the carnal state, we are very little better than animals. There are very few things that animals cannot do that a carnal human being can do. Very few. True? The demonstration of our divinity, of our ascendedness above the animal race, is the image of God. And carnality now let's break it down from sin to carnality. The job of sin in itself. Now, sin, but when I use the word sin, I'm going to use it loosely. I understand the doctrinal differences, but I'm going to use it loosely to mean fleshiness, worldliness, and Ten Commandments sin. Amen. The Bible says our three areas of warfare are with the devil, with the flesh, and with the world. So let's put all three together and call them sin. So devil, Ten Commandments sin. Ah, it was the devil, Lord. Let me get to heaven. Satan will say, God, before I go to hell, please, can I slap a few people? It was not me. I wasn't there. Everything is Satan's fault, you know. Everything is his fault. Sound systems go off in church, it's the devil's fault. Then we find out somebody didn't plug something properly, but it's Satan's fault. Amen. You were eating plant, you were eating, you know, I said plant, you were eating potato crisps and drinking palm oil and granite last night as a chorister. You get to church in the and cold water and everything. You get to church in the morning, your voice is broken. Satan, I bind you. Bind yourself. But Ten Commandments sin, Satan. The world system, the way humanity has been structured to think. And then the flesh, carnality. And the flesh is not this thing we carry around. Can we lay some foundations this morning? I'm in a teaching mood this morning. The flesh is not our skin and our bones like we've been taught in Sunday school. One day, beyond the sky, I'll have some pie and I'll lose my flesh. And then I'll thresh. Doesn't work like, no. The Bible says we have to sanctify our spirit, souls, and bodies. But the same Bible says the flesh and the spirit lost one after the other and can never agree. Your body is not your flesh. What is your flesh? Your flesh is your human nature. Amen. It is an intersection between your soul and your body. Your flesh is the human appetite that is fed by sensuality, that's in the emotions and stimulus. So yes, your flesh is attached to your body, but it is not your body. It's a spiritual organism. It's a symbiote. And the Bible says it must die. Amen? You don't make any arguments with it. You don't take any prisoners with it. You don't discuss with it. You don't make a plea bargain for the lawyers here with your flesh. There's only one verdict that must be delivered on the flesh every single time. Death by crucifixion. And it must happen within the first 5 minutes you're awake every morning. I have learned the principle. If you miss the first 5 minutes of every day, you're behind the eight ball. You won't go down already. Paul says, I die. Okay, now that I've laid the foundation, let's go to our text. So Jesus came to show us that it is possible to be God wrapped in body and still be a son of God. When you and I got saved, First John chapter 1, let's go there. I'm going to repeat some of the things we spoke about on Thursday, but you know, it's all good. Amen. First John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many, someone say as many. So first of all, now this ascended realm we're talking about, this class of sons of God is open to who? To who? As many. First thing I want to point out. Someone say as many. Say as many. It's open to as many. There are no restrictions in age, race, gender, experience, past mistakes, as many. I've said it before, children's ministers, listen to me. The age of a child or the soul or the spirit, sorry, of a child is ageless. Age is a function of the body and the soul. Your body ages, your soul ages, your spirit is eternal. Amen? So sometimes we might have to condense some concepts into language that the soul can understand. But please don't water it down. Don't tell me, oh, it's youth ministry. You know, it's clap, Chrissy, clap. It's youth ministry, you know. Our young people, we're just excited about our young, amen. Now, I sit down in some churches and I just want to hurl something at the pulpit. And many times it comes from people I respect. And I still respect them. But you know, I heard a woman of God who I love with all my heart and I respect with all my heart. I mean, I have all the respect in the world for her till today. But she said something a few years ago that made me scratch my head. You know, there was a big conference, a gathering, and then there was a children's choir or a teenage choir. And I was sat down. I mean, there were thousands of people in the auditorium. I was watching and prophetically I was seeing all sorts of demon spirits. Lust, pornography, variance, rebellion. I literally was seeing a hell pit on the stage. Amen? Amen? There were 14-year-olds who were homosexuals in that choir. And then she gets up, takes the microphone, and says, oh, with voices as beautiful as that, the future must be bright. And I thought, how does voices translate to future being bright? Have you heard that before? Oh, our children are so talented. You know, we give God praise. There's a great... I'm like, how does talent Hello. Clap. How does talent, how does the fact that a 15-year-old can hit notes? Amen. Rihanna can hit notes. True. Lady Gaga can hit notes. I'm getting current. I've been doing my research. I'm no longer talking about Brandy and Monica. I'm Y2K compliant now. Amen. What's his name now? This confused male who's half pun. Was it Trey Song? No, not Chris Brown. Can hit notes. True. Does that mean the future is bright for them? Does that mean they're anointed or they're saved or they're spiritual? No. The soul of a human or the spirit of a human being is ageless, no matter how old they are. A 5-year-old is just as able. I got saved at 4 and a half. And I knew what I was doing. Somebody, my elder brother preached him, my stepbrother, you know, he went to church and heard about hell for the first time. And he came home and told me, I'm like, yay. I stole something from mom's pot yesterday. Yay. And it was interesting, but that was a time in my life when I was beginning to pinch the odd, you know, then back in the day, 1 naira in Nigeria was a lot of money. I was pinching 1 naira to buy stuff at school for my mom's purse. Amen. At 4 and a half. And my brother told me that all thieves were going to a lake of fire forever. That night I sat on my bed and I cried, God, I'm sorry. Because the rapture has already happened. Send a second batch. Every morning I would wake up, go to my mom's room. My mom was the standard. If she was there, the rapture hadn't happened. So every day I woke up, the first thing I did was run to mom. Ah, she's there. Then one day I woke up in the morning and she'd nipped out the house to do something. She came back and met me in a crumpled heap, a 5-year-old, crying my eyeballs out. God has left me. I told a lie yesterday. I forgot to repent before I slept. Rapture has happened. My mom has gone. The Antichrist is going to be looking for me at 5. At 5. So don't tell me, oh, they're young, so you know we need to na-na-na. Teach them the word of God. Change the language, but keep the content the same. Yeah. Amen. For instance, don't use examples from 50 years ago. Don't talk about Marvin Gaye and, you know, and Co. When you want to give examples, give Chris Brown and Rihanna. Hint, hint. But as many, someone say as many. Okay, let's kick this up a notch. As many as received him. Now, first of all, the promise is to as many. Secondly, there is a condition. They must what? They must what? It means by inference that there must be something given for it to be received. Now, I learned this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit about 10 years ago, and it changed my ministry forever. Nowadays, I don't struggle, okay, let's receive the baptism, God baptized. No. God has already poured out the Spirit. It must be received. The same thing with salvation. As many as receive. Now, there is nothing you can do in your strength to earn this. This places zero responsibility for action in the sense of creation on your part. Behold, I stand at the door and I, if any man opens, what will happen? Aha. As many as received him. So first of all, there's an offer on the table. Think about that for a second. There's an offer on the table. Paul, please help me out. There's an offer on the table. What's the offer? Not eternal life as in heaven. Otherwise, the minute you get saved, God will take you there. For those of you who are, and don't get me wrong, I say it on a daily basis, this world is not my home. I'm sick and tired of this world, amen. People say you're too young to be talking like that, but really, I've lived long enough to realize there's nothing this world has for me. I've, you know, aside one person, there's nothing I'm living for that is not inside the purpose of God for my life. And even that one person is inside the purpose of God for my life. Amen. I would have absolute. Now, when I was younger and I was single, my friends would say, oh, you know, Jesus can't come till I get married. I'm like, you idiot. You know, so God comes in the clouds. God, hold up a second. My wedding is tomorrow. Can you just pause there? Okay, pastor, quickly pronounce us man and wife. Get us to the hotel room. Okay, God, you can come now. But we're not staying in heaven forever, you know. You know? We're not staying in heaven forever. Read your Bible. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is just a holding room, a barn. Amen. Heaven is a storage container for a harvest until the harvest is replanted. Eternal life is not just life in heaven. Eternal life literally means God's quality of life. That's why when you preach in the streets, when you go out for evangelism, evangelists, hear me, go beyond. Please tell them about heaven and hell. Amen. Mention hell. Mention it. Don't be seeker sensitive. But it's not just fire insurance. You're not an insurance salesman. Well, you are, because it's life insurance, not just fire insurance. Eternal life literally means life on God's dimension, life on God's plane, life in the class of God. As many as received the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We were not born again of incorruptible seed, Peter says, but of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, even the word of God. In the beginning was the word was God, with God, what was God. What does the seed do? Produces after its own kind. Who was the seed? The word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Whatsoever is born of God, the Bible says, overcomes the world. Now, if you plant God, what do you get? If you plant God, what do you get? Let me help you out, because some of you are thinking, no, this is heresy. If you plant an apple, what do you get? If you plant an orange, what do you get? If you plant a banana, what do you get? One apple, one orange, one banana. What do you get? Loads. But each one is equal in content to the seed, right? God planted himself on Calvary. And now he has professingly, I stress, 2 billion people like him. Each of them in content, not in reality. Someone said, not in reality. You ain't there yet. That's what the Bible says. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We're still in process, but in essence, in content, in structure, we are every bit just like the one that was planted. So you're struggling to handle this. You're like, no. They didn't tell me this. No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by... It's not. No. You are not a sinner saved by grace. Bible calls you a saint. As many as receive. That's why salvation. See, that's why when we get to heaven, the punishment for rejecting it is eternal death. The Bible says, if we neglect so great a salvation, but you and I just sat at the old rugged cross, singing hymns, hoping to trade it someday for a crown. In my Father's house, the Bible says, are many. Now, the word mansion doesn't mean buildings. Jesus is not in heaven right now with a brick and mortar going, gotta build a house for my bride. Okay, Yemi did well, 5-bedroom house. So-and-so didn't do well, boys' quarters. No, that's not how it works. You know, that's not how it works. In my Father's house, my Father's realm, in my Father's jurisdiction, the house of David, the house of Saul, the house of Israel, in my Father's house are many rooms, in the kingdom of God are many dimensions, many realms, many compartments, many enclosures. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I give you the keys, not the key. The what? The keys. Because when you get into that house, there are many doors. And each door has a key. And that's what was offered at Calvary. Amen. Redemption was the first door. It was the door that got you into the house. But many of us have stayed in the kitchen, made ourselves Lord have mercy. I was going to say something funny. Made ourselves a drink. Amen. Poured ourselves some cocoa. Sat down at the TV and says, Amen. Amen. Bless God. Amen. I'm in. But there's a jacuzzi, but I'm in. There's a gym, but I'm in. Amen. There's a sauna, but I'm in. Amen. There's a music room, but I'm in. There's a garden the size of, of an entire street. Oh, but I'm in. Bless God. Amen. For the children, there are PlayStations and Wii's and Nintendos, but I'm in. There's a Maserati in the garage, but I'm in. Amen. Amen. There's a Bentley Azuri around the back, but I'm in. We're just happy to be in. We're like Israel in the outer court, at the brazen altar, in a circle. Laver, altar. We're just going back and forth from the brazen laver to the altar. You know, oh Father, thank you. Redemption, brass, the judgment of man. Thank you for, I repent. Then I fall down. Then I go back to the laver. Then I look at myself. Wow. Then I wash myself in the word.
come to church, amen, that's the labor. You come to church on your bedroom, the pastor preaches, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Oh Lord, I'm so messed up. Okay, labor, wash, 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 wash. Run back to the altar. I don't care if I scream. Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Tomorrow morning again, labor again. And we just do the circuit. We never get into the inner place. We never eat of the shoe bread. We never taste. See, all we ever deal with God about is issues of the flesh, of brass. We never get to the golden altar. We never get to the place of divinity. We never get to the place where we move from men to gods. You are gods, I said, but you will die like mere men. Because of your, can I use the word? Because of your selfishness. Because people say, well, you know what? I really not into, somebody once told me about 7, 8 years ago. He said, no, said to me, you know what? All this stuff you're preaching about going to another dimension and the cost, really, it's not for me. You know, I just want to be a normal Christian. I just pay my tithe, don't do anything wrong, and just make heaven. I'm not called to ministry like you. And I thought, how selfish. Because creation is waiting for the manifestation of what? The Bible says it is groaning. But you just want to pay your bills, have a child or two, and go to heaven. Just enough for me, enough grace for me, enough anointing to heal my headache. The world around me can die of cancer. No, it's okay. Enough faith to pay my bills. Children around the world, most of the children in third world countries can die without ever having gone to school in some places. But I don't care. Just enough for me. When will you go beyond the first door? Let's start with the inner place first. Forget the Holy of Holies. Let's just start with the golden altar, where you and God communicate now on His level, gold. Because an altar is simply a meeting point between the supernatural and the natural. Amen. Now, where you will meet on God's level, gold, not on your level, brass. When will you go from natural light to the light of the candlestick, which the Bible says is Jesus, and burns with oil, which is the Holy Spirit? When will you eat shoe bread? When will you eat the diet of priests? When can we stop preaching based? Because I'm having to be more and more disciplined in this season, because there's things I want to preach people are not ready for. We can't even get you to stay holy from Monday to Saturday. We can't even get you to church 2 weeks in a row. That's why churches have entire departments called follow up. To beg you to come and meet God. Please, God, please just come. I know things are hard. You know, I know you're broke and everything, but the one who can solve your problems, can I beg you to come and meet Him? Can you see how silly it is? And the Bible says, my people love it so. Now, I'm not coming to church. Why? Because, you know, I didn't come last Sunday and nobody called me. Well, maybe we just got so used to the fact that you never come anyway. Hello. 7 steps, 21 principles, 72 dimensions, 154 realms. Your best death now. Because most of the time, that's what it means. Your best death now. Like Benny Hinn once said, who cares about your emotions in that sense? Qualified. Oh, we do care. The heart of a pastor is for your future. But not at the expense of your eternal future. And most of what we call counseling is pampering to continue your carnality. You know, Namunji didn't smile at me in the morning. You know, rather than tell the person shut up and be a Christian, tithe and offering every single week, not in this church, but pastors have to come with creative ways. I know some churches where pastors study more for the offering than for the message. Amen. There is more revelation in the offering charge than in the sermon for the day, because they know they need that revelation to get you to pull money out of your pocket to the one who gave you life, and then you will drop a penny in the basket. And please, we've said this many times before, plus minus your offering, God's work continues. So, you know, God knows. If there's any pastor on earth who's qualified to say what I'm saying, it's me. God has blessed me so that I don't live and die. Sometimes I don't even know what comes in here. Majority of times it never gets to me. But you get a chance to give to your future, to connect on the altar of heaven. I mean, in those days, men would give sacrifice and be asking, was it acceptable? Was it acceptable? And you come to church every day with your high heels and your 2 miles of bad road shoes, squeezing your nose like a mosquito's buzzing around it. Oh, it's happening again. You drop your 1 pound. Then you walk after church to Peachy Keys, amen, to Antibos, to Nando's, and spend £50 on one meal. Repent. Look at your neighbor, say repent. Say repent. Talk about going to the ark beyond the veil now, where only the high priest can go, where only the person of Jesus, only the nature of Christ himself is allowed. And you have to put on Christ, put off the old man, put off carnality. You have to transcend from worldliness to divinity, otherwise you'll be slain. Oh God, I wish God, no, can I put up my heat up because I'm sweating? You know, I wish God would just talk to me. He can't, because I want God's glory. It will kill you. You know, I just want to see God. Eh? Really? So talk about, the Bible says, come beyond this place where the light there is now not even the word or the or the lampstand. It's the Shekinah glory of God. When you see a person who walks in a certain level of revelation, they didn't get it from studying the Bible. Many of the deepest truths God has told me were not in studying my Bible. When he tells you, then you find it in the Bible. Shekinah, an ark, wood, humanity, overlaid with gold, divinity, with a mercy seat, with cherubims on top of it, mirroring the heavenly place. You know why they're there? Cherubims protect the glory of God, and they will kill anything he wants to approach that is not qualified. Anything that has flesh in it. Bible says, there I want to meet you and commune with you. Many of us just meet him and we run off. But I want to tell you things. I want to exchange my heart with you. But Jesus tells the disciples, there are many things I want to tell you, but you cannot handle them. Because Paul says, I wanted to speak unto you as spiritual, but I couldn't because you're carnal. While there is envy and dissension and backbiting, and he said, she said, I'm for Paul, I'm for Paulus, I'm for Pastor Lumine, I'm for Pastor Joker, I'm for Adel. Shut up and grow up. Don't say grow up. I said this year we'll grow up. That's why everybody can't be here. Don't say everybody can't be here. It's not church for everybody. It's not. And I have come to that conclusion a long time ago, because you will grow up. You will ascend the hill of the Lord. You will stand in his holy place. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As many as received him, to them he gave power. The word power there is exousia. It means jurisdiction, authority. He gave entrance, is what it means. He didn't make them the sons of God. Hello? Hello? Now this is the catch. Salvation doesn't make you a B'nai Elohim. Salvation positions you to be a B'nai Elohim. Salvation doesn't mean that all the promises in the Bible are yours. No. Salvation means you can now begin to find out how to fulfill. Salvation means you're in the house. Now you can contend for the key to the bedroom. As many as believed him, to them, now to the ones who received, first of all, to them, not to everybody, he gave the power, the exousia, the jurisdiction, the authority, the right. Amen. Someone said the right. It's like going to school for, Lord have mercy. Ebayata boko satalabando ribi akasha talabasaya mero do de imakadabaya. Your university degree doesn't guarantee you, surprise, surprise, for those of you who have made it a God, I went to university. I have a master's degree. I have a professional qualification in a completely different discipline from what I did my master's in. Amen. I went through all the glory and praise to God, the first class in undergrad, a distinction, a master's level, a merit. I am not saying do not take school seriously, but it doesn't guarantee you success in life, you know. Hello. In my day, from the neck of the woods where I come from, that country called Nigeria where God lives, where God used to live until I came to Nottingham, every parent wanted you to be a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, an accountant. At some point, they included architect. At some point, architect came in. Architect wasn't always popular, but came in at some point. Because they felt if you went to school and you got these degrees, you were set for life. There are people on the bridges in that country with doctoral degrees. You know why? The degree doesn't make you a doctor. Hello. The degree means now you qualify to go to foundation school. Are you with me? The degree means you are now in line for consideration. And if over 4, 5, 6 years you do what you should do, someday you become a consultant, then you can floss. But now Christianity is like a first year medical student walking around with a stethoscope on their neck. That's how it is in today's generation. And saying, look at me. Woo, look at my practice. I'm a consultant. No, you're not. Can I say that again? It's quiet. No, you're not. You're a student. You're in process. Someone say process. You're in process. Oh, you know, now, you know, so basically, first day of the first week of the first year, you walk into a hospital. Say, please take me to the A&E ward, please. I'm doing a ward round. You, what's wrong with you? They come and grab you and say, wait. Excuse me, are you all right? Where's your badge? Those hefty guys will carry you. I keep saying, you'll be moving your legs. They'll be spinning in the air. And they'll dump you outside if they haven't manhandled you already. That's what happened in the realm of the spirit. I'm a Christian. Amen. I've said the prayer. I've knelt down and said after the pastor, Satan, I'm coming for you. Quam, quam, quam. Slap, slap, slap. Because like the sons of Sceva, Satan looks in the realm of the spirit. Where's your ID? Okay. Father, okay. Mother, save. Brother, save. Sister, save. But you? I see your surname on the record. I don't see your name. I see the same name as you, but it says senior. Olumide Israel Isiave Senior. My son will have to qualify, even if he bears the same name as me. He can't say, oh, my father's name's in the book of life. Let's move on. I don't want to depress you. He gave power to become the sons of God to them that believe in his name, which were born. Now, this is the qualification. They were born. When they became sons of God, they were born not of blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. The life of what is in the blood, of the flesh, is in the blood. Your soulical life, your natural existence, your earthly existence, the life of it is in the blood. Not of the will of the flesh. You're not born of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. If you are born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you qualify to see the kingdom. But until you are born of water and spirit, amen, of word and spirit, what does it mean to be born? To introduce a seed into an environment, for the seed to take nutrient from that environment, and for the seed to be brought out of that environment after a process. Someone say process. First John chapter 3. Let's wrap this bad boy up. First John chapter 3. Whatever you do, don't miss the Barnacle of David tonight. Amen. It's going to be... Satan has been fighting it, but he has lost. I feel a witness in my spirit. He has lost. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I said last week on Thursday that the highest form of God's love is not that he puts up with your mess, but that he holds you to a higher standard. Amen.
The proof that God loves you is not that he pampers you in your rubbish, in your carnality, but that he demands you transition to a higher level of glory. The proof that he loves you, the proof that a leader loves you, the proof that a parent loves you, is that they refuse for you to stay a baby forever. They put demands on you. They put a rod on your backside. They withhold certain privileges. The Bible says they chastise you. Our earthly fathers chastised us for a season, but we gave them honor. Why were they chastising us? Because they wanted to bring us to a place where we look like them. Outside my wife, my father is my best friend now, and he says it. My father and I talk about everything on Sunday. He tells me things. I'm thinking sometimes morning, this is my dad talking to me. But it wasn't always like that. Growing up, he used to complain and say, you know what? My greatest pain, he would tell me, is that I have a son who doesn't think like me. I kept thinking, what's wrong with this man? What's wrong with this old man? Why should I think like you? I'm my own person. But as I grew older, I understood what he was saying. Not become a clone of me, but take on my values. I remember when I was in university, about a decade ago now, and the first time I got into debt, and my dad almost cried. He found out I was in debt, and he broke down, and he said, all my life, son, I have lived my life without debt. And I mean, student debt, amen. Once you build up on those your silly credit cards, buying shoes and bags and you know, consoles and all that kind of stuff. Now I thought, well, hey, I have this under control. I'm going to pay for it myself. What's wrong with you? But he said, son, see, in our family, we don't live beyond our means. It took me years to clock what he was trying to say. I am disappointed because although you claim to be my son, after spending so long with me, I haven't been able to get my value system into you. If earthly fathers think that way, how much more heavenly fathers? What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knows us not because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are. Somebody say, now we are. Say, now we are. Stand up with me. Say, now we are. Now we are. Now we are. Now Paul, John wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to a group of people. For the ones who had already made the first transition, he says, now we are the sons of God. We weren't before, but now we are. Now we've moved beyond salvation. We've moved beyond the prayer. We've moved beyond three songs and two fast, three slow. We've moved beyond church on a Sunday and quiet time. We've moved beyond tithe and offering for the sake of tithe and offering. We have ascended into a realm. Now we are the sons of God. Look at your neighbor and say, are you now a son of God? Are you now a son of God? It says, but it does not yet appear. Ha ha. There's room for more. There is kingdom come, but there is kingdom yet to come. Jesus says, today and tomorrow I do miracles and cures. Father, thank you for people with polio and twisted legs and a cane that I have been privileged to be a tool of healing to. Thank you for people with cancer that I've been privileged to be a tool of healing to. Thank God for people with immigration issues who the Home Office had said, no way. Who, you know, by a word from my mouth, I've been privileged, and I use the word privilege, to be a tool of deliverance too. But there's got to be more. That's why I have a group of people that once in a while, I like to make sure I spend time with them. Because in your own little corner, you can feel like a local champion. You know, you just shake a little bit, a little gold dust here, some oil over there. Amen. You sing in a choir. While you're singing, somebody falls under the power of God and gets healed, and you've arrived. But there's people who are ministering on a keyboard and corpses. Hedy Baker. Go study Hedy Baker. People who are singing and they bring corpses to the altar. And they leave the corpse at the altar. And half an hour into her singing, the corpses get up. Aha, I say there's more. But beyond the demonstrations of the glory, Jesus said, today and tomorrow, the first day of the kingdom and the second day of the kingdom, I do miracles and cures. But on the third day, I will be perfected. There is something beyond glory, power, and miracles. It's called sonship. Where you no longer carry God, you are God's expression. You no longer speak for God, you speak as God. You are so dead to flesh, self, and sin that you don't need to hear God say it. You open your mouth and we know that what you said must be what God is thinking. Amen. The Bible says when we get to that state, we judge angels.
Oh, Yabakata. Like Enoch, God comes and says, you know what, boy? This world doesn't deserve you any longer. You rapture by the twinkling of your eyes. Hey, like Elijah, chariots of fire come for you. People look at you and say, my father, the chariot, you one person, you are the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. It does not, Hosea chapter 6. After 2 days, you will revive us. But this is beyond revival. This is beyond Pensacola, Florida, beyond Lakeland, beyond Mobile, Alabama. Amen. This is beyond stadiums and crusades and glory. No, there's something beyond that. The reasons why those things don't last is when they come, there's too much carnality on the earth, so they can't last. God is looking for long-term vessels, environments that he can dwell in, not abide in, but dwell long-term. Where what we call a revival service is a regular prayer meeting. I told you guys, I had a vision a few years, about 15 years ago, 12 years ago now. I was preaching at a market square, and there was thousands of people gathered around. And I heard a word of knowledge that on the other side of the square, there was a man in a wheelchair who was sick. And without fanfare, without saying cameras come, without being a great man of God, just not as normal as combing my hair, I levitated, walked over the crowd, got to the man, ministered to him, and nobody clapped, nobody shouted, nobody screamed, because it was everyday stuff. It was normal. It wasn't normal. It was normal. Deacons and deacons in the Bible were not necessarily what we call them today. Where as a deacon, you have your own chair and your own seat, amen. And you know, and people must address you as deacon, so and so. No, deacon meant houseboy, toilet sweeper, floor cleaner. Deacons were going and turning entire cities upside down. And then when the deacon was done, they would send for the apostles, say, "We've destroyed this place. Please come and bring some order to it." People were walking through time, Philip. Time travel. Come on. Paul went to preach to a proconsul, and his assistant, his adjutant, for lack of a better word, was resisting him. And Paul says, "You be blind for a season." And he was blind for a season. I'm not talking about anointing now, I'm talking about glory. But where does it start from? Where does it start from? So we talk, it only appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How? And every man that has this hope in himself, the proof that you have this hope is that you purify yourself, the Bible says, even as he is pure. So you've missed hell, so what? So you're on your way to heaven now, what next? Is that all you're interested in? If you are, you're of all men most selfish. Because there's an entire world out there that needs you to ascend. This season, evangelism is not by tracts any longer. Burn them. If there's nothing to back up the track, burn it. Because we live in a generation now that has no concept of God. Are you with me? There's no concept of God any longer. There's no fear of God. There's nothing to work with. You are starting from scratch. There must be a demonstration, not of miracles, but of the nature of God. There needs to be a spiritual template walking the earth that attracts heaven as it walks. The Bible says those who are heirs of salvation have angels as ministering spirits for them. Finally, Romans chapter 12 says, verse 1 and 2 and 3, 1 and 2, we all know this. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God," this will lead me to next week, "present your bodies." Whose job is it to present? Yours. "Oh, but you know, God, just take me." No, God is not a rapist. Amen. "Present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, strange, weird, of another dimension, another class, and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable." It's just reasonable. Someone says it's just reasonable. It ain't deep. It's just reasonable. It's just what God expects. It's your due.
This is your reasonable act of worship. It goes on and it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word transformed is the word in Greek metamorphomai, from which we get the word metamorphosis. It means to evolve, to translate, to go from one dimension to another. It's the same word used where the Bible says Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, where he became a glorified being. It is what happens when we die, where we put off corruption and put on immortality, where we have glorified bodies. But the Bible says you can get in on the act now. You don't have to wait till you die to be a glorified being. The Bible says, by the renewing of our minds. This thing called carnality is robbing you of your inheritance. The person you were bitter against, but God understands what they did to me. It's okay. You're just forfeiting your right to be a son of God. Oh, but everybody at my workplace cheats. You know, it's part of the culture. Then you get out of there, and if necessary, you starve for a month or two. Amen. Hear me, can we preach this old-fashioned? And this is not new revelation. This is old-fashioned Christianity. If I need to suffer for God, I will. If my convictions mean I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, amen. Amen. If every man who comes to me with a proposal wants to sample the goods first, then tell him to get out. I'll be single the rest of my life. Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet. Rubbish going on in church these days. But it's fashionable to have a bump on the way to the altar. God forbid, not in this place. You know, we need to make sure that she's fertile, they say. Somebody once said something very stupid to me. Said, Pastor, would you buy a shirt without trying it on? This was my answer to him. When you buy something from a store, they tell you if you want a refund, you bring it back unused in its original packaging and condition. Amen. So don't try it out by destroying its original packaging and condition. Try her out by taking her to dinner and talking to her. Amen. Try her out by praying together with her and discerning what God is saying. Don't touch the packaging. Are you listening to me? Man, are you listening to me? If you touch that packaging, you're liable. Amen. And God's people said, amen. If there's a choice between faith, now what I understand about God, and anything else, God wins. I've said, I love my family, I love my wife with my last breath. But it is a term of our marriage that God comes first. Not ministry, God. Are you listening to me? My personal relationship with God comes first. Oh, people keep saying, but it's so unromantic, I don't care. I heard a man preach once and say, well, you know, when you get married, your wife, blah, 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 comes before certain things and blah, blah, blah. And I said, sir, one quick question. I said, so what does the Bible call her a helpmate? He said, yes. So she was given to me and I was given to her to help each other fulfill our destinies, right? Said yes. I said, so imagine me getting to heaven and saying, God, the person you gave to me to fulfill my purpose for my life, to become the person you made me be, I'm not talking about ministry, I mean just to become the final destination for my life. God, the person you gave to me actually was the reason why I couldn't. Does that sound sensible? Which is why we beg you, pray at least a day for every year you intend to be married. So people who've never heard God a day in their life, God hasn't told you to change your dress. God hasn't told you to stop swearing. But now God has told you, that's my wife. God said. And the minute they say God said, it should be the end of all arguments. And woe betide the pastor who challenges what God supposedly said. Woe betide the person who takes you to task and says, let's sit down and discuss this. This does not sound like God. But you don't understand. But I heard God. I will obey God. Don't call me when things are going wrong. Amen. Leave me. If I'm not in, leave me out. I have more things to do with my life than be prying my nose in your business. Amen. Are you listening to me? I have a full life already. In fact, it is to my benefit that you don't involve me. It makes my life simpler. But as your pastor, it's my God-given responsibility. But don't bring me in halfway as a consultant. I'm not interested. The same God that told you, that same God, whoever he is, the same God sought you out. Amen? Because he's tall, dark, and handsome. Six-pack, six figures, and 6 feet. Because she meets all the right statistics you put in your fleshy diary when you were 15. And a hormone-driven teenager. That's carnality. Christianity doesn't change our way of thinking. It changes our spirits. But we spend like unbelievers. We talk like unbelievers. We live like unbelievers. We make decisions like unbelievers. We gossip like unbelievers. And what's the difference? Christians will say, leave God out of this. As a Christian, you want to leave God out of something. I don't understand. Watch silly things on TV. Sit down and for hours and hours and hours. I know it's not pornographic. I know it's not sexually explicit. But you're watching, for instance, you're a teenager. And you're watching teenagers swearing at their parents and slamming the doors. And we parents allow them watch it. It's entertainment. I pray Trouble Channel off Sky. I prayed it off Sky. And I will pray some other channels off. My wife and kids. A 12-year-old gives her mom the as she walks in and slams the door. And 12-year-olds are watching that. And we're surprised when one day they slam the door at you too. You're watching a movie where an adulterer is being portrayed in a light that makes you sorry for him. Hello. You're watching a movie and you are identifying with a man cheating on his wife. And you find yourself blaming the woman because of the way this... See, Satan has so subtly introduced... So, you know... Our music. Let's pray. Don't get me started. I'm about to pray. Let's just pray. Lift up your hands this morning. Say, God, save me from carnality. I want to be a son of God. I told you this before. See, I don't listen to any music, Christian or otherwise, that is not explicitly worshiping and praising God, both in its lyrics and in its melody. That's my test. There are many Christian musicians I don't listen to. I'm not saying you should stop. It's just me. Because I'm a priest. I'm consecrated. I can't afford to fast 3 days every time there's a situation to deal with. I need to be on point. I need to be called at 3 a.m. in the morning and be able to say, thus saith the Lord. So I need to regulate my spiritual environment. I need to regulate my intake. I don't grub out till I fall out. I don't stuff my face till I can't move any longer. When I'm eating, I stop before I'm full. You know why? Because Jesus, help me. I don't spend every penny I earn. Fact is, I don't even spend any penny I earn on myself any longer. Because I'm a priest. It's not 40 days and 40 nights fasting. I can lay my briefcase on your head and nothing will be transferred. I don't pray as long as some people I know. I don't fast as long as some people I know. My secret is carnality out. The minute I discover something in my life that God is not pleased with, I make a commitment to weed it out. Whatever the cost. Whatever it costs me, whoever it costs me, whatever I have to do, I have set a seal upon my heart. I am on a trip, on a pilgrimage to Zion, and I will get there or I will die trying. Father, Lord, we bless you this morning. Everyone lift up your hands. Lord, as many as have heard your word this morning, Lord, it's been longer than usual, but we thank you anyway. As many as have heard this call to arms, confirm your word. As many as make up in their minds today that they will take this journey to become a son of God. Pour out grace. Duplicate yourself in this place, oh God. Raise generals, raise men and women whose legacies will reverberate into eternity. Raise pattern sons. Raise examples of your grace in this generation. Raise portals for the kingdom of heaven. Walking portals, living portals, breathing portals. People through which the culture, the influence, the glory, the power, the wealth, the essence, the structure, the government of God's kingdom on the earth is established. every seed of flesh and carnality we're battling with, Father, we pray for grace to remove and erase. We pray for grace to remove and erase, oh God. Every struggle, Father, for some people, it's not because they want to go on in this. Some people are literally, Lord, and I feel the compassion. Some people are saying, Lord, you know, I'm not reprobate. I don't enjoy this, but I just can't seem to kick it. Father, to such minister grace this morning. Grace, grace, grace. Grace, Jesus. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, oh God. Let your love rebuke every spirit of condemnation that holds them bound. Let them be free to love and worship you. Finally, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Now, I'm not making an altar call for you to rededicate your life to God because you want to reconnect. But if there's somebody here who has either never been to Calvary, you've been a Christian in the sense of the name, you've been to church all your life or a few years, whatever it is, but you do not have your own experience with God. I don't mean that you backslid. No, don't worry. You can do that yourself this morning as you pray. But I want to pray for anyone here this morning who says, I have never had a bona fide salvation experience. I realize now it's all been religion. I've never had this experience you spoke about this morning. I might have said the words religiously, but I've never had a transformation in my spirit. There was never a day where I knew I was a different creature. If that's you, please come to the altar this morning while everybody's eyes are closed. Quickly, quickly, quickly. God bless you. Anybody else this morning, all eyes closed, God bless you. I'm going to count to five and then I'm going to move on. And please don't come and see me after the service because I want to attend to you. Do it now. Do it now. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. All eyes closed. My sister, lift up your hands this morning. Father, I pray for your daughter this morning. I pray for the obedience. I pray for the eternal perspective. Father, we don't have all the time in the world, but I pray this morning that right now, in this moment in time, that you will communicate to her spirit expressly the mystery of salvation. Every boundary, every blockade, every roadblock to her understanding, comprehension, and internalization of the seed of righteousness. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We command you to get your hands off her. We release her into intimacy with the Lord of her salvation this morning. Now, I want you to talk to God in your own words and say, Father, this is the general gist. Now, I know that I am, when I say a sinner, I mean I have offended you. I have fallen short of your standards. I realize that it means my spirit is not aligned and connected to yours. The Bible says we must confess and repent. Say, Father, I am sorry for my sin. This is what I have done. And you must repent, meaning you must make up your mind, I will not go back. I will not return to my vomit. From today on, I will live a life that pleases you as you give me grace. The Bible says if we believe that he died, now I want you to understand that he died for you. He was buried for you. He resurrected for you. He got up. He actually got back up. The same spirit and force that brought him back from the dead is the same spirit that you are about to receive this morning. It will quicken your mortal body. It will bring you not just into a religion, but into an intimate encounter and experience with Jesus. Say, Father, I'm sorry for my ways. I repent this morning. I turn and I follow wholly after you. Say, I receive this new birth experience. I believe that you died. I believe that as that power rose you from the dead, that same power is at work within me right now, making me a different breed of person, making me a new creation and a new race. I will never ever go back to the way I was. Father, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We worship you. We give you thanks. Bring this one straight into the seventh day. Bypass religion, oh God. Bypass dogma, Jesus.
straight into the kingdom. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened to see you as you really are.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask for fire in her belly, oh God. Rivers of living waters. Rivers of living waters, oh God. Rivers, 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 rivers. Rivers, rivers, rivers this morning. Baralabosh katalabanda labasa. Le brayandos ketiganamando rokonde lebasi atalabaha.
Together for God this morning.